Hello, this is Joshua Mack. We are reading through a book by Jeremiah Burroughs called A Treatise on Earthly Mindedness. And in a sense, what we're doing is thinking about the way we are thinking. When we talk about earthly mindedness, we're not so much talking about behavior first. Of course, it will result in behavior, but the fact that we call it earthly mindedness is a hint that we are talking about what's going on inside our heads. And I think this is convicting and pretty powerful, because a lot of the time we can give ourselves a pass for the way we think. Our thoughts don't seem that significant to us, or don't really seem like it's an area where we can be evil, especially when it comes to just meditating on earthly things above God. And yet, Jeremiah Burroughs wants us to see that the way we think is a very big deal. And if we are clinging to the things of this earth and acting like they matter more than God and our relationship with God, then we are sinning in a big way. And he is actually giving us a number of proofs that this mindset is evil. And first, he has used the image of adultery. Worldly mindedness, earthly mindedness is spiritual adultery. And then he used the image of idolatry. These are two sins that we would know. Of course, someone who's an adulterer, someone who is committing idolatry, they can't be going around saying their relationship with God is great. And yet that's exactly what earthly mindedness is. Now he's going to give us two more proofs. And this is intense. And there's a temptation, even for me as I'm reading through this book, to want to fast forward. And I kind of thought about, how do I do that? But that's part of why I'm disciplining myself actually to read through it, because he has a lot to say. And if we go over it too quickly, we'll really miss some big spiritual helps. And so he is showing us the evil of earthly mindedness in such an extensive manner for a reason. And I think part of the reason is so that we can really be horrified by our own earthly mindedness, and that will motivate us to appreciate the Savior we have in Christ, but also seek the Spirit's help to be heavenly minded. And so here's a third evil, third and fourth evil. We'll just go through these two. Thirdly, earthly mindedness is enmity against God. You would hate to be found an enemy against God. If you realize you're in a position where you're God's enemy, you'd be like, that's a problem. Earthly mindedness is making yourself an enemy of God. The scripture says it this way in James 4:4, know you not that the love of the world is enmity to God? That's pretty intense. The love of the world is enmity to God. Is it possible to love the world the way James is talking about and be God's friend? Not really, not, no. Observe this, for there's much in it. If God would be pleased to lay this on our hearts, you will find by experience that earthly mindedness makes men to be enemies to that which is spiritually good. Therefore, well might the Holy Ghost say, 'tis enmity to God, for whatever is enmity to anything that's spiritually good is enmity to God. As much as my heart or any of your hearts are against anything that's spiritual, so much mine or any of your hearts are enemies to God. Here in this text, the earthly minded men are made enemies to the cross of Christ, that is, enemies to the spiritual preaching of Christ and holding forth of Christ. And he's just going back to Philippians 3:19. You remember how Paul describes his opponents as earthly minded people, and says that they were enemies to the cross of Christ as a result. Indeed, if they would have mixed Christ and circumcision together, then they would have been content with it. But now this spiritual way of preaching Christ and being justified by faith alone and Christian religion in its purity was that which was not suitable to their carnal hearts, and therefore they were enemies to it. And again, that's quite an insight. Earthly-minded people can be very religious. They're just religious in an earthly-minded way, and they hate, actually, the gospel way, the spiritual way is how he describes it. And you can see this sometimes in churches, right? Like people that are doing religion, they're very active. You might think, oh, these are very dutiful, faithful people. But when the scripture is clearly taught, when the gospel is proclaimed, there's a hatred for it. And that's because the earthly-minded person is an enemy to God. And you see that because they are enemies to that which is spiritually good. It makes them angry. Oh, earthly-mindedness makes us enemies to spiritual things. Where you have greater enemies unto the things of God, unto spiritual things, unto the ministry of the word, and to the work of God's grace upon the hearts of men and women, there are no greater enemies unto these things than earthly-minded men, men that savor the things of the earth. They can go up and down, and they do not care as long as they can go about their business, grow rich in the world, and fare deliciously every day with greed, making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There is an antipathy in their spirits against Jesus Christ and all goodness. So they're not neutral. You know, you meet these people, and they seem nice until you bring up gospel truth, and you wonder, why do they get so angry? Where is all this anger coming from? And it's because they're not neutral. Earthly-mindedness will make you a person, an enemy to the things of God. And of course, we're Christians, we have been saved, and yet this is why we're warning ourselves against earthly-mindedness and thinking about the way we think, because if we let this poison get into our minds, if this is becomes the normal pattern of how we live and think and live, then we're going to end up being enemies to what's spiritually good, and we don't want that. The fourth evil. Fourthly, there's scarcely any disposition more opposite, more contrary to the work of grace, to the work of godliness in a man's own heart than earthly-mindedness. So here he's saying, if you think about how God saved you and the way that you move forward and become more spiritually mature, he can't think of anything that is more opposed to that than just being earthly-minded. And this is part of what makes it so evil and worthy of really our attention. We want to fight against this. 'Tis so exceedingly cross to the nature of grace that you may as well put men or women on the stand and put them upon examination whether there be any grace or not in their hearts if earthly-mindedness prevails. So at the end of the day, if someone is living an earthly-minded life and they're not repenting, you have to wonder, does this person have any reason to be confident they're a Christian? That's how serious this is. If God should suffer your corruptions to prevail over you so that you should break forth into some notorious sins, then it may be you would begin to think, can this stand with grace? And how can that stand with such workings as I've had before? Have I not caused to fear that I'm but a hypocrite, a rotten professor? So there's some things you might do where it would be obvious to you, like, hey, how can I be a Christian? Earthly-mindedness, we should realize if we're earthly-minded, that should cause us to wonder or take it seriously. This earthly-mindedness has as much opposition to the nature of grace and the power of godliness in the heart as almost any sin that you can name. You see somebody who's a drunk, you'd be like, okay, it's going to be hard for you to really be godly. If you see somebody who's living in unrepentant adultery, I don't think you're really going to be able to spiritually grow until you deal with this. You see someone who's earthly-minded, the way we describe, their thoughts are primarily focused on the things of this earth as an end unto themselves. And that's going to be hard for them, impossible really for them to grow until that's repented of. It's quite contrary to the very beginning of the work of grace, not contrary to the degrees only, but to the very beginning. The main work of God at first in working grace in the soul is to disengage the soul from the creature. Yeah, the first step to really being a Christian is to recognize God is God and what it means for God to be God. And that the creature is not God. And if the earthly-minded man is really living as if the creature was God or created things for God, it's naturally true that as we are of the earth, so we are earthly and have our spirits engaged to the things of the earth. But then comes the work of grace upon the soul and takes it off and discharges the heart from the earth. Therefore, you find that Christ lays this in as the first lesson. He that will be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, as if he should say, never think of being a Christian unless you'll deny yourselves. Self? What's that? It's all natural contentment, natural self, and sinful self. To be emptied wholly of yourselves and creature comforts and contentments and take up his cross, to be willing to suffer anything in regard to earthly comforts, to be willing to lay down all at his feet, to give up your interest in all, and to take up his cross, this is the very first beginning of Christ bringing disciples to himself. The soul then says, let me have my sin pardoned and farewell earth, its heaven, holiness, renewal in the image of God, communion and union with God, and living to the eternal praise of his name in Christ that my heart is upon. This is the beginning of God's working the heart to himself. So if we are saying, is earthly mindedness a big deal? Well, we go back and we see, what did it mean for us to become a Christian? Well, at the very beginning, what it meant was that we said, no, I'm not living for this world right now. It was a turn away from earthly mindedness that began our Christian life. The work of grace, when it's first wrought, has the name of vocation or calling. So we would say, someone's been called by God. Well, what is it for a man to be called? What's he been called by God? What's going on? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. To be called is this: whereas before you were altogether digging and diving in the earth and seeking for your happiness in this world, it pleased God to make you hear a voice behind you, calling you and telling you, oh, poor soul, your happiness is not here. There are other things in which the chief good exists. You were made for higher and better things than these. God has nobler thoughts about mankind than merely to let him have a few contentments here in the earth. We go back and we see, what did God do when he called us? He called us to look up and to realize, ah, I can live for something much greater than myself. Oh, soul, come away and look after these higher things. Here's the first work of grace, and the soul answers unto this call of God and says, Lord, I come. And so the soul goes up to God to dispose of earthly things, and this is the beginning of the work of grace. Now, how contrary to is earthly mindedness to the work of God in bringing grace into the heart? Think of it in these three things. The very work of conversion is set out in Scripture by God's calling the soul out of the world, whom he's predestinated. Him he hath called. When God effectually begins to work upon the heart of a sinner, he causes a voice to be heard in the soul. O soul, you've been busying yourself about many things, but there's one thing necessary. Oh, come out of that way of yours which you're in. You can never be happy otherwise. You will be undone in it. The Lord caused the soul out of the world, and that is the very work of conversion, the soul's answering to God's call. Now, how can the soul answer God's call and still have a heart clinging to these things? Surely such a one is not yet effectually called out of the world. So again, we go back and we look at our own lives. What did it mean for God to save us? What happened? Well, one thing that happened is that God came and said, ah, give up the trash that you're living for, that everybody's living for. I've got a treasure to put in your hands. And we put down the trash to pick up the treasure. And so if we see ourselves clinging to trash, you got to wonder, did we ever put it down? You know, did we put it down then pick it back up again? Perhaps, but did we ever put it down? From this follows the soul's answer to this call. The Lord disengages the heart from all creature comforts. So you see, this is a supernatural work of God, and teaches the first lesson to deny himself and take up Christ's cross. Now, what is more opposite to self-denial and the taking up of the cross of Christ than earthly mindedness? The text here says they are enemies to the cross of Christ. A third thing in conversion is the resigning up of the soul to God as the chief good. The soul, upon the call of God, learns the lesson of self-denial and taking up the cross, and so being disengaged from the creature, now resigns itself to God as an infinite, soul-satisfying good forever. Now you cannot but in the naming of this see how opposite earthly mindedness is to it. So to show the evil of earthly-mindedness doesn't take much work. We just have to go back to actually look at what it meant to become a Christian in the first place. Now he says, what happens once you become a Christian? What does grace do in you? And I'll try to go through this quickly. But he says, and this should be an encouragement, because it's what grace did in us and is doing in us if we're believers. And seeing what grace has done in us should also cause us to hate going back to being earthly-minded. First, grace brings a new light upon the soul. A spiritual and divine light is set up in the soul upon the conversion of a sinner to God. But the earth, you know, is the dark part of the world. And earthly-mindedness causes darkness to be upon the spirit. Like the interposition of the earth between us and the sun hinders the sight of the sun from us, like an eclipse. So the interposition that there is of earthliness in the soul of man between God and itself hinders the sight of God from the soul. There's a divine light set up in the soul, and God works grace that discovers things of a higher and more excellent and glorious nature than those things were which before the soul did so much cleave to. So God's enabled us to see. Earthly-mindedness puts a kind of a cover over the lamp, or turns the light off, you know, makes it difficult for us to see. So how much should we hate it? God's done this so that we can actually have light now. We don't want to go back to being blind. In the second place, the scripture sets forth the work of grace by the phrase, the new creature. In the soul, all things are made new. Old things are past. He that is in Christ is a new creature. Now, earthly-mindedness is opposite to the new creation of the soul. It's the old man that's of the earth. The first man's of the earth, earthly, and so it's apparent that you are still only in the stock of the first man of the earth if you are an earthly-minded man and you don't repent. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. But now you who are an earthly-minded man or woman are yet but a child of Adam, the first man, and so are of the earth, earthly. This is opposed to grace, for grace works a new creation in the soul. And of course, that's true. Grace makes us new. We are different now. But again, you remember from Colossians chapter 3 that our life is hidden with Christ in God, and we have to put to death what's earthly in us. So yes, if this is not repented of, we have to wonder, have we ever really been changed? But if we have been changed, it's possible that we're just not doing the work of putting to death. Then this should be a motivation. We are new creatures, so of course we should think in new ways, want new things. Thirdly, grace is of an elevating nature. It raises the heart above itself and above the creature. Yes, above the world. In some respect, above angels themselves, above principalities and powers, above all created things. Grace is of a raising nature, but an earthly-minded man sinks down to low and base things. Yeah, you were enabled to live for something bigger. Man, it's good to meditate, isn't it, on what God's done in saving us. We have light. We're new creatures. We have been elevated, in a sense, to live for something so much greater. Fourthly, grace is of an enlarging nature. It enlarges the heart so that it cannot be satisfied with any earthly thing. Though God should give the whole world to the heart that has grace, this would not satisfy that heart. Why? Because it's so enlarged by the work of grace. The work of grace is the divine nature, the image of God in the soul, and therefore makes the soul like God. It's said of God in Isaiah 40 that all the nations of the earth are to him but as a drop in the bucket and as the final dust in the balance. Now, grace makes the soul to be like God, to account the things of earth to be as the drop of a bucket and the dust of a balance, to be nothing less than nothing. So grace has made our hearts too big to be filled by the stuff of this earth. That's beautiful. Like, even if God decided to give you everything, if you're a Christian, if he just gave you physical things apart from himself, that would not satisfy you, because you've been saved to live for something bigger than all of that. And then finally, he says, grace sanctifies the soul. Now, what is it to sanctify, but to take off from all common uses and to dedicate to God as the highest act of all things. And therefore, the Greek word that is for holy, it's taken from a participle primitive, and I'm not sure exactly what he means by that, primitive, but and a word that signifies the earth as much as to lay, not earthly. And a holy one in the Greek language is not an earthly one, according to the usual etymology given of it. Now, grace, it makes the soul holy. It sanctifies the soul. It sets apart the soul for God and dedicates and consecrates the soul to God And therefore, you see that it is opposite to the work of God in bringing grace into the soul and to the work of grace and the power of godliness in the soul of man. This is the great evil of earthly mindedness. It is opposite of the work that God's done in saving you. And so we should be motivated to take the way we think seriously, because it's evil. Earthly mindedness is evil. That's what it is. And so we see it's evil in that if we are earthly minded, we're going to have less and less desire for spiritual things. In fact, we'll end up opposing them. And everything that we want to be holy. We want to be living for God. We want to be glorifying God. We want to be living as these new people. There's all these great things that we want, that we desire for ourselves now that we're Christians. And an earthly-minded attitude, that kind of mindset is going to stand right in the way of that. And so, you know, when something stands in the way of you being able to pursue what you really want to pursue, you do the work to get it out of the way. And that's what we need to do when it comes to earthly mindedness. We need to be motivated to think about how we think and to repent where we need to repent so that we can set our minds on something so much better than what we used to. And I pray that God helps you do that and me do that even this week.